Hallo Josh.
Hallo Christian.
Das ist ja früh heute und ungewohnte Zeit.
Ganz untypisch und schlechtes Wetter.
Auch das noch.
Aber zieht da ein Sturm auf?
Samstag und neue Folge, was ist mit uns los?
Irgendwie ist der Wurm drin, ne?
Ja, das ist aber, weil wir ein Date haben, ne?
Wir haben ein Date in the early mornings.
Yes, in English.
Ja, also da müsst ihr euch wieder ein bisschen englische Sprache von uns anhören und von unserem Gast.
Ja, wir könnten mit ihm auch Dänisch sprechen, aber das können wir doch nicht. Also,
wir können es nicht, er kann es zwar versuchen, aber er wird Dänisch sprechen können, aber wir nicht. Für alle, die jetzt denken, oh, wieder eine Folge auf Englisch, guckt einfach mal nicht am Dienstag, sondern vielleicht Donnerstag, Freitag, Spotify und Apple Music, da weiß ich es, die machen eine Transkription, da könnt ihr zumindest die englischen Texte mitlesen, wenn das einfacher sein sollte.
Und dann haut ihr euch das Ganze in ChatGPT und schon habt ihr einen wunderbaren Podcast, euren Lieblingspodcast quasi, auch auf Deutsch. Ja, wir haben einen Gast gleich, den werden wir gleich mal dazu holen. Es ist der Michael Planeta, wie er heißt, finde ich einen geilen Namen übrigens. Ja. Seines Zeichens Chairman of the Board der Nordic Storm, also Vorstandsvorsitzender, wie es wortwörtlich überreicht. Warum das ein Vorstandsvorsitzender und nicht unbedingt ein Owner ist, das klären wir auch gleich nochmal mit ihm. Ja. Wollen wir versuchen, ihn dazu zu holen?
Machen wir.
Versuchen wir mal. So, here we are with Michael Planeta. Welcome to the Firecast.
Thank you. So, thanks for hosting us last week.
Yeah, I think it was a bit loud in the stadium to talk to others. What was your impression from the loudness? It's a bit louder than in Copenhagen, I think.
It's also five times as many people, so it should be.
But you're in a good way anyhow. So I saw the last ticket sales today. It was you're going over 3,000 for the game tomorrow. Is that correct?
I would estimate that we're going to go right around there. Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. Should be a big party anyhow. So it's your first season as a franchise. Just tell us, how was your impression, not only for the fans, not only on the sport event, but also financial. So what is your impression? You had expectations going in the season, I suppose. Were the expectation matched? Were they overcome? So just tell us about how you felt in the first season.
Yeah, I mean, when we set out to do all of this, our overall expectation were to be a steady contender in the playoffs in around year four or five. Mm-hmm. So to go into the playoffs in year one is definitely a surpass. Secondly, when you do a startup like this is, of course, you do a budget, and then normally you also go above that budget because there's something that you didn't put in your spreadsheets. So we've spent about 10-15% above what we expected on budget, which is, again, normal for any startup to go a little bit above. In terms of revenue and so on, we're pretty spot on in what we expected. We set pretty low bars on what we expected to have in the first season. Because, I mean, pro football in Denmark is brand new. I mean, there's been football since the 80s, but on a pro level, it's never been there. So we also needed to do a bit of marketing to get people in the stands and all these things. From a spectator viewpoint, everything here is positive. They think we have a good brand. They think we have a good event. My own level of what I would like to deliver is still not on point. I would like it to be bigger and better. But all we hear from everybody who's been there thinks that we do have a good product and they like coming and coming again.
You told that the football is not so familiar in the Scandinavian lands, and you played football yourself in the youth. How yes. Does it come that you play American football and not soccer or handball, which are more common in the Scandinavian?
Yeah, I started playing football when I was 17. Prior to that, I played basketball. So I've actually never played any European sports. I had a friend who had played football when we were 12, 13, something like that. And he played in a very good youth program that was actually in Denmark, run by actually a guy called Run Da Costa. And I didn't really grasp what football was at that point. Then I moved outside of Copenhagen with my parents. And then one day a new football club started in that city. And he also lived in that city and said, "Hey, come and try it." And then I tried football once and got stuck with it. So I've spent 26 years or something on football since then. So for me, it was just a pure love thing from the very first start. I also think it happened, of course, because I was good at football. So when I mean, you tend to love something that you're naturally good at from day one. And I had my basketball skills. I was also a bit lighter then, so I started out at wide receiver and DB. And I had natural ball skills, so I both had interceptions and touchdowns. So that was a good few first years.
So that was a pretty successful story from you. And how come that you come and say, well, I want to lift up football on a professional level in Denmark, respective to Sweden? How was the idea to come to, okay, you saw the ELF before, I guess. Then it comes to talks with the ELF, but what was your purpose to, or what was the idea? I think you're going a bit another way than other teams. We have many teams with many owners, with very much pretty much investors, and you're going like the Green Bay Packer way. That's what I saw. That the franchise will be owned by the community. So how will this work in the future? What do you think?
Yeah, there's several levels of that. First, to start off with why we did it. For me, I've always dreamt of having something bigger and better in football in Denmark. Clubs in Denmark are something where you play it for fun, and you pay a fee to be there, and then you pay your coaches, and you maybe have one import player or something, and it's nice and it's cozy, although it's still a rather high level. I think this is going to be the same in Germany also, but from the club perspective in Denmark and Sweden, ever since COVID, we've seen a lot of people fall out of the sports communities. And part reason why we did the storm was because we thought that football in general in Scandinavia needed something to look up to, but also be that poster child of getting youth reactivated into football and grow football all over. And from the founders' perspective, we would hate to see football in Scandinavia diminish in such a way that pretty much nobody plays it. So from our side, we really hope that the Storm will create that sort of flagship that reignites football in Scandinavia. So that's a big passion point outside of the we also want to make money on it, that is from a passion point. And that's also sort of why we thought, let's do it in a Green Bay Packers way, so that, I mean, we offered up shares to start out with at a relatively low entry point, in the hopes that all of Scandinavia would say, "Yeah, I'm just taking a small piece here for several reasons." Because it gives an automatic fan culture, because then you're a co-owner, and of course you want to go and see your team play. So that was a big part of, in principle, being able to fill the stands as quickly as possible because you had an automatic fan base. But also to have that this is something we built together and own together and grow together. So that's why we wanted to do the Green Bay Packers model. As I also said to other people, it hasn't really worked. I mean, we have about 50 investors or so, so that doesn't fill the stadium at all. But it is still the intention that over time, more and more people will hopefully buy into it. And if not, that doesn't matter. We still have the money and economy to drive it. But we truly wanted to have that overall Green Bay Packer feel of the North owning the Storm together.
Just in case I will have some money and would like to invest in the Nordic Storm, what's the level you expect? So I have money X and I want to invest, and with which money can I go for it?
Yeah, we actually started out selling shares, or one share in the Nordic Storm is 40 DKK, so that's about five euros or so. Yeah. But we set a minimum cap that you needed to buy 100 shares, so that there actually was a little bit of money into it. We've actually raised that a bit, so the minimum now is 40,000 DKK that you need to buy into, so that's about 4,000 or 5,000 euros or so, and that is in principle only due to lawyer fees. So every time you actually do an emission of shares, that the lawyers take their share. So we needed to raise that a bit to actually make it feasible, and we didn't spend all the new money on just paying the lawyers and didn't get anything into the Storm.
Yeah, but you got 50 shareholders so far, so that's pretty good.
Yeah, definitely. But I also want to say that rather large list of them is the initial shareholders who bought in on that 4,000 DKK. So there is a lot of small cap investors into it. The biggest shareholders is Lars Green and I. I currently have about 60-65% of the company, and Lars has about 20. And then we do have an American group of investors who's already into this as well, and they have about 10. So and they only count as one on the cap table, although there's about 20 people in that.
Okay.
So overall, we do have about 60 investors or so.
Are you interested in getting a youth team for the Nordic Storm, like Rheinfire got with the Düsseldorf Panda, the youth of Fire Cats? It's now flag football, but also there's a membership with tackle football. I'm interested in get the use to the Nordic Storm.
Yes, that's definitely a thing. From last year when we launched, we had an idea of actually building an academy program that would be outside of the Storm, but still in it. So it's a combination of inviting people in for extra practices so that they can learn from Shoop and Noble and all the other coaches. Also, so they can just see how our quarterback does things and stand behind him, or something where they can develop from that. Flag football is something that we're going to do next year. We already have our cheerleaders, not as many as you guys. you have a bunch of cheerleaders.
But still you have.
I mean, we have about 15, 16 cheerleaders right now. My hope is that we go to about 30 next year, so that we both have cheer and flag, and also competitive cheer, so that they go into competitions and so on. Right now, it's only a dance cheer, but then we'll build on that as well. I also have an idea of we should have tackle football. Biggest, I don't want to call it an issue, but the Danish and Swedish Federation in football has seen the Storm as a little bit of fear of something new. They didn't really see what we're trying to build, and thought that we were maybe going to ruin football in Scandinavia. And I get that, because it is something new, and we are, of course, also taking players out of the Danish and Swedish leagues. So I get that fear, absolutely. So we haven't fully decided on tackle football yet, because we also want to do it on terms that the federations see as good for them, so that we don't take even more people out of the normal clubs, because we don't want to ruin the normal clubs, we want to build them. So tackle football, maybe, if we can do it with the federations in a good manner.
You know, that's the thing we had in Germany as well, yeah. When Rheinfire started, and they all started with the Cologne and Berlin and Hamburg and whatever. And that's the same thing the German Federation had concerns about, that the league, mm-hmm. that the good players would be taken out of the league, and the competition yep. in the league wouldn't be good for international competition, for example. I think the talks, they got in the right way, and it depends on where you are. Like when you are in Düsseldorf or the Rheinfire area, there are pretty good talks with the Panthers, and I think in Munich it's pretty good as well. So if it's a together working, that would be very good, and yeah, that's there are talks to make, right? So I think you have a lot of work with that.
Yeah, and the Danish American Football Federation has actually come quite a bit around. They see what we're doing here. They also experience the clubs actually getting youth players in from going out to see Storm and say, oh, I want to play this. So we've actually already seen growth in Denmark. I hope that Sweden is experiencing the same. I would estimate that it's probably less. Because we are, of course, based in Denmark, whereas we're not based in Sweden. So the spectators from the Swedish side is less than the Danish side. So I would also estimate that we have less new players coming into Sweden based off of this.
Will we have games in Sweden? So it was in the talks that you have Copenhagen and Malmö, so that just together. Yes. So you're planning to play in Sweden as well?
Yes, definitely. For several reasons. One, we didn't do it this year because we needed to have something that we knew worked and didn't take too much logistically. Next season, the field in Gladsaxe where we play will be refurnished. So they need to take everything off. So they are shutting down the stadium for 6 weeks during our season. So in those 6 weeks, we need to both talk with the ELF and have a schedule where we don't have six home field games in a row. But we actually plan currently to have a game in Jutland, which, and depending on league structure next year, would make a lot of sense if we could fix it so that we play against Hamburg at that game, because it's a rather short drive up for them. Mm-hmm. And then we also plan to have a game either in Malmö or in Stockholm.
Mm-hmm. With 4 or 5 games, home games in a row, we can talk to Madrid or Rheinfire. I think the schedule will be
a bit different
next year under the information in the last weeks we know.
Yeah.
I would imagine that there's going to happen a thing or two next year in league structure.
We should talk about this in a moment, but to come to the sports to the sporty section now, your expectations were to come in the playoffs in 4 years or in 3 or 4 years. Mm-hmm. Now you're in the playoffs right now. You're in fourth seed, so that's pretty good for the first season, but anyhow, you did a pretty good working on your personnel. You had with Jadrian and Glenn coming to you. Unfortunately, Glenn got injured in the first game, but anyhow, you did a really good job on the field, and you're working on it next year. I just saw that you extended your contract with your defensive coordinator, and I think you're already in plannings for the next season. Will you hold on to Jadrian and Glenn for at least one more season? Can you tell me about that, or is it still a secret?
No comment.
Okay. But you would like to go on with them. That might be a comment we can take.
In all honesty, Jay is probably the best quarterback in all the ELF. He's a general on the field. He knows Shoup and his playbook. He's a good mate for all the teammates that he has. They respect him. I would actually guess that he would have surpassed Rizanet in terms of yards for the season if we didn't lose the Helvetic game. And looking at Glenn, he played a quarter and a half for us this season. I think he had about 150 rushing yards in that quarter and a half. So, as you said before, it's amazing for us to be the fourth seed, and we were at one point trending towards the first or second. had we had Glenn all season, we would have been a different beast, although we've also been in part a beast this year. So having those two back would mean a great deal for the franchise. They are also already faces of the franchise, and both of them are good players and good people. And you know that very well. You've both had them on the contract. So I would enjoy having them back for a 2026 season. But we are also in a place where we are just starting those conversations with players here and there. And there's also a salary cap that needs to be on point. So overall, with what we've done this year, there's not many players I wouldn't like to re-sign for the next season. But there's also injuries, there's age, there's maybe people retiring. There's maybe also salary caps that we can't do. But bringing the most of the band back together would be nice. Yeah.
You said retirement. You also got Joachim Christensen. He was our former player and was in the retirement. And he's doing a good job as your center. I think his father is also in the ownership.
Yep.
Do you think he will play next year, or is this now his last year of the last year of this retirement?
Let's put it this way. There's a handful of people that came out of retirement to play for the Storm. From a sports perspective, I hope we go all the way and win the championship. From a personnel perspective, I don't, because I'm pretty sure that those guys will most likely retire if they win.
Okay.
I would imagine somebody like Joachim and a couple of other players, if we lose out on the championship, they will probably stick because they want to have it. But if we go all the way, it would be a nice retirement and just say, yeah, we did it. I'm done.
And going all the way is one point. It's always step by step, and the next step will be the Rhine Fire at Copenhagen on tomorrow. What do you expect from that game? I mean, we had two games. The first one you won in Copenhagen with just a point, and the last one we won in back home. Now it's your home game again. What do you expect personally from that game?
I expect an amazing football game. If you look at the statistics between us, we are pretty evenly paired on all parameters. You guys have a bit more rushing yards than we do per game. We have a bit more passing yards than you. Our defenses are pretty evenly matched and so on. So it's two really good football teams that match up really, really well. So I think it's going to come down to rather few things, a play here or a mistake there that does the difference. So I would estimate that the game is pretty close to a coin flip. I think the winner will win by one or two touchdowns, again, depending on those few mistakes or whatever happens. But of course, the Storm is going to take it. It's our home field, and Ryan will be out.
If you win tomorrow.
If. Thank you.
If you win. Which enemy or which opponent you want for next week? Would it be the Vienna or the Munich?
From a perspective of who would I like to see in the finals, I would like to see us in Vienna and then snub Vienna again. So that means that I would rather go to Munich and beat them and then go to the finals afterwards. But from a sports perspective, I don't care. We have a good team that can beat either team. But from a finals perspective, I would like to see Vienna in the finals and also beat them for being called Vikings, so we couldn't use the Viking name in Denmark.
Was that a plan? So would you like to be the Vikings? I mean, it's near, right?
It would have been one of the most obvious names for us to use. Due to Nordic history, of course, And figuring out what we were going to call the storm was actually a bit of a hassle, because there's a lot of Nordic names already used in the league. So we couldn't really take any of those. So there's both with the Ravens and with the Thunder and all these things. But Vikings would have been an obvious choice. We would probably not have gone that route because there is a Danish club called the Vikings, actually. And there's also the Copenhagen Towers used to be called the Vikings also. So again, there is a lot of names that were taken all over the place that we couldn't really use.
Oh, but Storm is a pretty good name. So it's like the storm came over you, and you can do pretty much. And I think you did a pretty good job.
And it actually came out I don't want to say a copy and paste of the Rhine, but when we sat down and had issues with all of those names, then we started talking about the Rhine, and then we have the fire, and we have the storm, and all these things. So it came out of saying, okay, we have these elemental things in the league, so maybe let's do something like that.
Yeah, and still it's something new. So I don't know any team called Storm, rather in the NFL or college or whatever. And that's a pretty new and fresh name. And so I think you did a pretty good job on that choose. Yeah.
Thank you.
So coming to the next season, I think that the biggest question all of us has is how will the ELF or will it be the EFA? We have the knowledge that you met last week or 2 weeks ago in Frankfurt EFA to talk about next year. And one thing was, will there be the game today and tomorrow, or the playoff games in total, because there was some money missing with the ELF?
Yep.
Do you think the games will be today and tomorrow, and also next year there will be the ELF, or will there be the EFA?
The games will definitely be played. There's no doubt about that. I can't really elaborate on the ELF and EFA in terms of what's going to happen next season, other than the most important thing, that no matter what, we will have professional football in Europe. And that's the most important thing, that we have professional football in Europe, so that the fans are not disappointed, the franchises will persist, and we will have a good product no matter what. And that's actually what I see as the most positive thing that's happened with the EFA and ELF, is that either the ELF persists in a better way, or the EFA takes over in a better way. So football for all will be better from 2026.
Yeah, I think the best thing that you said that already is that football, or the professional football on that level, will still exist next year. Yep. That's the main thing, and that's the main concern every fan had and everybody had, that ELF goes down and everything is gone again. talking about the end of Europe back then. But yep. But still there. We see financial pressure. We see financial things that are not done, and it's all over the media. And it's like there's a new CEO now at the ELF, and everybody says, well, he's there, but he's not shown anywhere, and he's not talking to the franchises, and that's the main thing to get the fire extinct. Not talking about the Rhine fire, but the fire that's burning inside or all over the ELF. And now every team, except one or two teams, is organized in the EFA. And they're putting a lot of pressure on the ELF. And you said, hey, we could extend that pressure, and we could say, okay, we're not letting the broadcast team in for the games, so that they won't be on TV if there's not the money coming that you as ELF are you supposed to bring to us. And that was something the EFA said, you have to bring that money until, I think it was Monday last week, and since then nothing happened. So or you talk internally, I know, but we or the public they don't see anything. So what is the progress there? Did anything happen? We don't want any details, but did anything happen? Is there any reaction?
There's reactions, of course, but and I don't want to defend the ELF on this, but I'm gonna a little bit. When you go in as a new CEO, as Ingo Schiller has done, and you're throwing directly into the fire and try to get a grasp of what's going on and who's done what and who owes why, that's a massive assignment to get and also get an overview of in such a short time. So I have full respect that you cannot fully give a package or an idea of how things will work in such a short time frame. But that's also why communication is key, and also that some of the demands that the EFA has in terms of structure and people going forward involved, who should be there and who shouldn't be there, and who should have a say in operations and so on, is very, very important, because the overall trust between the teams and ELF is broken. Because whenever you do make a contract with people, that there's always two people that need to deliver in that contract. And if it's only the one side that delivers and the other continuously breaks the promises in writing, then that trust goes out the window. And don't get me wrong, we can all make mistakes. We can all do delayed payments or be late at a game or a podcast or something. We are all just human, but you need to communicate clearly so that people know what's going on and not do it in a mistrustful or dishonest manner, because then it's not a any kind of relationship that you can build on.
So we have a thing in Germany. We say, what do you think has to happen? You say it's communication. That's the key. So somebody has to communicate from the ELF with the EFA and vice versa. But what do you think is the main thing that has to happen, that the, and now I come to the German expression, that the cow has to come off the ice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The main thing is that the majority owner of the ELF needs to be out of any decision-making or controlling interest, I would say.
Okay. So,
yeah.
Well, that's what we think as well. And now he is out of it, any decision making. We don't know. He now has the CEO.
With the structure, and that's also the issue. I mean, it's good that we have a new CEO in the ELF.
Right.
That will, of course, take fully over once the season is done. But when you do have a majority owner that holds 70% or 80% of the league, you are still the person deciding things. Right. Same goes here. We have a GM. Bjorn, who's our GM, does an awesome job. But since I hold the majority of the shares, if I tell him to do something, he needs to do it.
Yeah.
Because I'm the majority owner.
Yeah.
And that's how it is when you do have something that's owned by a backer or an investor.
Do you see the structure changing the way it should be in the ELF? Because now the other thing is deadline was the final on 7th of September, and that's in 3 weeks. So do you see anything that could change that structure in 3 weeks?
Yes, it's probably called lawyers. But there is a lot of lawyering that needs to happen because it's not necessarily easy also. And now again, I don't want to defend the ELF on this, but when you do own a massive part in something, just letting go of it and just saying, take my money, take my ownership.
Right.
That's not an easy task to do. So I would estimate that there needs to be a good amount of lawyering done to have that fixed in an easy way. I mean, in theory, and I'm not a lawyer at all, and I'm not an owner of the ELF, but in theory, I would say that the rest of the owners in the ELF would probably be the easiest in theory. And just say, yeah, he's out, we bought his shares, because then he's not there. But I don't know if that's even feasible. So I would estimate that it's probably going to be lawyers who fix it.
Yeah, that would be the right way, right? Then we have two things done in one step, right? It's like the original shareholder, or which holds the majority of the ELF, is out of decision making, and the shareholders of the ELF franchises are in charge. So that would be the thing EFA wants to go, right? It's the ownership of the league is in the ownership of the franchises, like it's done in the NFL.
There's no doubt that a truly copy and paste of the ELF structure would be the best for all parties, because then you have fully aligned interests. You don't have that today. And we were fine with that when we entered, that you do have something that says we are the league brand and we facilitate all this and this, and you are the franchise brand and what's being shown on TV. And that's totally fine. Mm-hmm. But you need to have an aligned interest base overall for things to work. And today there is a misalignment that needs to be realigned for everybody to be happy. So you're absolutely right. Either there needs to be a board of directors or co-ownership or something where we're in it together instead of fighting on things here and there. And in principle, there probably wouldn't be any fighting in all this if the ELF just paid their bills.
There's only one team missing from the playoffs in the EFA. It's the Munich Ravens. Do you think the Munich Ravens are going to be a member of the EFA?
In principle, yes. But and I'm not entirely sure on this, but if I'm not totally misremembering, the ownership of the Munich Ravens actually also have a part stake in the ELF.
Yes, they do.
So yeah. there is a conflict of interest in that that also probably needs a bit of lawyering to be realigned in that. So I mean, from a team perspective, from a brand perspective, from what they deliver on the field and product wise and so on, they should definitely be a member of the EFA. But there probably also needs to be a non-conflict of interest for that to happen.
Right. So talking about, considering they are the Ravens are going to be part of the EFA, then you're 12 teams in the EFA, mm-hmm. and we don't think that Hamburg and Cologne will make that way. So Cologne is a financial thing, and same thing maybe in Hamburg, and they're the same interest because the main stakeholder in Hamburg is the same stakeholder as the ELF. So then you would be there would be 12 teams on the future professional football. I don't want to call it ELF or EFA or whatever. Do you think that's a good way to start off a new league with 12 teams?
I mean, from if we want to keep the structure as it is with four divisions, 12 makes sense. It's just three in each, so makes perfect sense. I'd rather see an even number than an odd number. It makes it hard to make divisions.
Right.
But that's also, again, some of the things that needs to be figured out from that perspective is if that happens of a breakout and so on, should there then be 14 or 16? What would it take for those teams to actually be allowed into the league and so on? So it's the exact same due diligence that needs to be going on there as has been done in the ELF previously, of saying, okay, who's in and who's out of contingency on these things. So that's a future question, and also of course discussions that are going on in the EFA of how would a league structure be and how many teams and who would be allowed and KPIs and so on. But again, it's also something that I can't really elaborate on, as it's an ongoing thing.
Well, this is an ongoing thing because Thunder is now part of the EFA with a, and that's what Martin from the Rhine Fire said, that they have a pretty good concept for the next season.
Yeah, they look to have spent this year to actually figuring things out.
Right.
I mean, it didn't go too good on the football field, but they look promising for 2026.
Yeah.
And I would also hate to lose overall any football franchises in Europe. Again, we want to grow football and have good teams all over. But it's an old NFL Europe franchise. It's a brand name. It's one of the founders of the league, and so on. So I would hate to have Berlin go out in any way or form.
Yeah, and I think Berlin as a city, there's so much potential in customers or in fans. No. They should have a football team. Yes.
For Eastern Germany, it's the nearest European football team.
Yeah.
I think the next one would be Hamburg, and then. Yeah, Munich.
Maybe.
And that's like a whole distance through Germany. So Berlin, yep. It was the biggest surprise when it was announced that the EFA is joined by the Berlin Thunder. We shared our Instagram and all that. Yeah, search is inside. And yeah, of course, it should be Ravens on next. And then it's Berlin. And everyone was, how the fuck is the Berlin joining the EFA, because they don't have the money, they don't have the team, they don't have the field to play after the season. So expect next year a new Berlin.
It was a positive thing that happened. Okay, so now talking about the future, the near future, you're planning to go to the final. You want to make it all the way. Now, you said you just want to do the playoffs. Why no the final? But we look at the season, and I completely understand why you want to go that way. And I think all the teams that are in the playoffs right now, they all have a chance to be the champion and to get the ring at the end of the season, because they have all the potential on the field and I think off the field as well. So I cross my fingers for Rhine Fire tomorrow.
Don't
hate me for that. But we will see what happens tomorrow. And if the storm goes on, it's okay. But I hope the fire will do it.
Yeah. But that's also, I mean, a podcast like you guys have here and the football community and so on, that's one of the things that I have always thought of as an amazing thing, that we compete on the field, but everyone around that environment are friends, so to say. We speak to each other, we laugh with each other, we share beers and food, and in the stands everybody is mingled together. There's no violent fan factions or anything else. It's just a community of people who love the sport, and that's the best thing ever. And then of course you can, from the sporting perspective, say, yeah, I want to win over you guys, but I still wish you the best of luck and so on in it. Just not too much luck.
Yeah, football is family, like
it's
always. Tomorrow there will also be a tailgate again, like the first game of you. There are some fans made some postings that there will be a tailgating at your stadium. So this is also, I think, one thing that should be more in the next year by the franchises. We got the fire party at every game, but we went to different stadiums where there are no parties in front of or no tailgating. So I think this should be next year. Maybe you can do it in the EFA status that you have to be or have to make a party.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the tailgating experience in football is a major part of it. And you guys start early, about 6 hours prior to the game or so. Normally we open our tailgate about 3 hours prior. And now we're actually looping a little bit back to where I said I think we've delivered a overall very good product for our fans. One of the things I don't think we've done well enough is actually the tailgating. I would like to have way more going on out there in terms of food and beers and soda, things for the kids and bouncy castles and all these things. But there is a lot of manpower required in running a football team. And since we are still very new, we also have a very small front office. So there's unfortunately limitations to how much they can do on a daily basis other than work 16 hours. So we need to grow on several things for season two.
Okay, so this will be the future on football in Europe and the future of both of our teams tomorrow. May the best winner get off the field. And well, thank you for your time anyhow that you joined us at our podcast. And
thanks for having
we have one tradition that our guest has the last words.
Oh, okay. Do they need to be profound?
No, it's just okay. What comes in your mind?
I think the overall thing that comes to my mind is that I'm really thankful for we here in Scandinavia had the opportunity to actually have a pro football team that can help flagship for the future and grow football in our region of the world. But I'm even more thankful for that overall community that we do have between the franchises where we, even though we compete on the field, we are very good and can still get better. But at speaking with each other on seeing how do you do great things that I can copy and paste in my franchise so that the fans enjoy it even more. So I'm just overall thankful for the football community and also for you guys having me here and putting that into your fan base and maybe have some German investors, of course.
Well, thank you, and I will think about it. Thank you, and good luck tomorrow for all of us. Bye-bye.
Okay. And to you guys too.
Oh, da ist er weg. Ja. Doch nicht die letzten Worte, ne?
Doch nicht die letzten Worte, aber
aber die letzten Worte in Englisch, so.
Genau, die letzten Worte in Englisch und sehr interessante Worte.
Ja. Da haben wir aber einiges gehört gerade, ne?
Da sind wir mal gespannt, was dann in 3 Wochen passiert. Also spätestens dann zum 8.9. wird es ja dann vielleicht die große Announcement geben, wie es dann weitergeht.
Ja.
Jetzt müssen wir erstmal gucken, was wir morgen machen. Wir hoffen natürlich auf einen Sieg von uns.
Auf jeden Fall. Also ich habe mich auf einen ganz trockenen Mund jetzt. Ja. Ich habe gar keine, so vor lauter Informationen, ja, die da auf uns eingeprasselt sind.
Ich wusste auch nicht, ob wir das machen sollen, weil die EFA ist ja kein Sponsor, beziehungsweise Dr. Pepper,
ja,
ist kein Sponsor der EFA. Vielleicht kann das ja noch was sein.
Vielleicht, wir können vermitteln. Genau. Wir haben jetzt Kontakte. Genau. Trinken jetzt erstmal Dr. Pepper. Ich weiß auch gar nicht. Dr. Pepper ist da oben. Ich hatte ja auch Probleme, da in den nordischen Ländern überhaupt Dr. Pepper zu finden. Das ist da nicht ganz so verbreitet.
Aber vielleicht.
What a pity.
Vielleicht ist das eine Idee, dass Dr. Pepper als Sponsor einsteigt bei der EFA.
Könnte sein. Julia, du hast meine Kontaktdaten, wenn du zuhörst, dann schreib mal, ich kann gerne vermitteln. Nee, aber sonst mega interessant und jetzt freuen wir uns. Jetzt gleich geht das Spiel los. Also wir recorden ja jetzt hier am Samstag und gleich geht das Spiel los der Bravos in Stuttgart. Das wird auch ein Hammer, da bin ich jetzt gleich sehr gespannt und dann nehmen wir uns vielleicht noch eine Dr. Pepper und trinken das gleich auf der Couch.
So ist es. So, wir hören uns regulär am Dienstag.
See you later.
The fire is back.